This message is brought to you by The Covenant Nation.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You may be seated. Good to see Minister Danson. Oh, you can. Come on, let's welcome the wonderful man of God. I love him dearly. Thank you, Pastor Poju, and your wife. Thank you. I'm very honored. All of that is to the glory of God and the expansion of His kingdom. Hallelujah. My sound is interesting. I want to start speaking, but is that okay now? Can everybody hear me? Hallelujah. No. So how did you know what I said? Hallelujah. Please allow me to go straight into the word, because like I told you, time in Wolfpack just flies. You greet people and you've already lost 30 minutes. So, all protocol observed, all the wonderful men and women of God here, I love you, I celebrate you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the earlier session, we started on a conversation of, how many of you remember what we shared in the morning session? One was the law of end stress or climatic structure. And the other one was the rule of threes. Great students. Hallelujah. And it was out of that revelation that I want to continue building. And for those of you who missed the morning session, kindly go and watch. I'm certain that if you might not understand this session if you don't listen to the first session. Hallelujah. So it was the reason why the Spirit of the Lord prompted us to talk about the three. Remember, Isaiah 40 verses 31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Up with wings as eagles. Two, they shall run and not be weary. Three, they shall walk and not faint. And it's out of the revelation of those two principles that we had to firstly visit the walking before the running and the running before the soaring. Praise the Lord. Tomorrow I'll teach about the soaring. You'll soar. I promise you, you'll soar. I'm already excited for tomorrow. I'm seeing what's going to happen and I cannot wait. Praise the Lord. But today I wanted to talk about running in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Running in the what? In the Spirit. If you're writing, running is finding purpose. Running is finding purpose. It's a place of striving toward spiritual goals, finding the assignment or the mandate that God has placed on your life. Of course, when you're just born again, the most important aspect here is to teach you the fundamentals, the principles, as I earlier mentioned, because the most important responsibility at that particular point in the life of a new convert is to make sure that they learn to stand and walk. And like I said in the previous sermon, that it's expected when somebody is learning to walk that they'll fall every now and then. That's why we exercise grace. That's why we teach the doctrines that, like I shared earlier, I'm not going to go in there. But when we get to the place of running, it's a place where we are awakened to purpose. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run. Are you hearing? Run with patience the race that is set before us. When we're talking about running, we're talking about a race. There is a mandate. There is an assignment. Well, Lord, you have saved me. I'm born again. I thank you for the opportunity you've given to be born again. I'm your child now. Why have you called me? What is my calling? What is my assignment? What do you want me to be? For what purposes did I come on the earth? This is one of the most fundamental truths when we're teaching about the miraculous, by the way. Because very few people understand the pattern of the miraculous. There is a pattern to the miraculous. And it begins with what the Greek called apokalypsis, the unveiling of things. Every experience that we have in two manifestations, firstly, has to be revealed or unveiled. There's an experience of, firstly, the light that is needed to see what should be lit on, and the light that is necessary to light on the things we should see. Are you following? So God firstly lights puts an insight or a revelation in your spirit and shows you something. It's one thing for the light to shine on something when your eye cannot see it. It's another for your eye to be able to see, but there is no light to shine on what you should what? Should see. If a blind man is put in a room that is full of gold, diamond, and silver, he can come out poor if he doesn't know, that it is gold or diamond or silver. Are you following? It is diamond because your eye, the eye of your mind, has the ability to see, and there is a light that should shine on it for you to discern that what I have is what? Treasure. When that light shines on the things that must be seen, then there is a necessity to reconcile the things God has showed you with His purposes, the reasons why He has showed you those things. That's the place of the full experience of revelation. Revelation does not end only at what we see, but the reconciliation or the understanding that comes with aligning or connecting divine purpose to what we see. Or else then it can become or will become transactional. I'm talking about revelation, the realm. When it finds purpose, eventually then it will seek the manifestation. Because you have reconciled the world of what has been seen in the understanding, aligned it to the purposes of God, it's inevitable that a miracle will happen. God is not in the business of just doing miracles because He can. That's the language of Satan. If you are a son of God, turn these stones into bread. But we have... let me leave it. I'm in Wolfberg. Okay, let me say a little. Somebody says, you know, if I want, I can do a miracle. And I'm going to do a miracle because I want. Are you hearing? I'm going to heal somebody because I what? I want. So if they don't want, and there's somebody who needs a miracle, a healing of cancer, it means that person is going to be buried because somebody just doesn't want to heal that day. That's not the way of the Spirit. Jesus did not heal men because He wanted only or when He felt it only. No, He was moved by compassion. And the Bible says, and heal the sick. There is purpose. Tell your neighbor, there is purpose. So He tells us that there is a race to run. This is a place where we understand that every one of us has a calling on your life. Every one of us has an assignment on your life. The reason why we don't see the miraculous in the church today, in part, is because many people have not been calibrated right to the assignment or the mandate on their lives. And today I just want to take a few minutes there to open your eyes to something very distinctive. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, He says, "Know ye not that they which run in a," again the word is there, "run in a race, run all, but run receiveth the prize." So He tells you, run that you may obtain. Verses 25, "And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown." And He says, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." I run not as one who is uncertain. There must be a surety of things. I must be established in the revelation of why I'm running. When He's talking to Luke,
chapter 1 and verses 1. If you'll open there, please. Luke chapter 1, verses 1. He says, "For as many as have taken in hand to set forth in order declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." Verses 2, he says, "Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word." He says, verses 3, "It seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all these things from the very first, to speak or write unto thee, O excellent Theophilus, that thou mayst have the certainty of the things in which you have been instructed." The certainty. He says, "I don't run as one who is uncertain." There is a certain authority that is imbued in the man who has the affirmation of the Spirit. It's one of the greatest mysteries in the Bible. It's called the mystery of godliness. The Bible says, "Great is the mystery of godliness." For among the principles of that mystery is the vindication of the Spirit. To know that when I'm going out to heal, the Spirit is with me. I'm not trying, I'm not guessing whether he's going to heal the sick. I'm not hoping that perhaps, you know. Again, I'm sorry, I'm going to debunk a deception. I've had people who say, "You know, when I come in meetings, if God wants to heal, I pray for the sick. If God is not in the mood of healing that day, I don't heal the sick." That's a wrong teaching. This Jesus you're representing went about doing good and healing all which were oppressed of the devil, for the Lord was with him. We don't see a place where God is not available and ready to heal men. We see a place where men are not ready to receive of the Lord, but we don't see a place where God is not in the mood to heal people. It's his nature. So don't ever get into a healing meeting thinking today God might choose to heal, and so if he chooses to heal, you heal. That is why in every healing meeting I've done, we have to see healing. Because that's the revelation of his heart. Again, if the gospel is not preached in the revelation of his nature, we cannot preach it as we ought. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. So God is talking to us here. He's saying that you cannot run. Now, after walking, you cannot run without finding your purpose. There's many Christians in the world who don't know what their calling is, who do not know what their assignment is. We actually have misassigned Christians, unassigned, and some are not assigned right. So today I want to have a conversation in these few minutes to open your eyes, to help us tame this narrative and help every one of us find that positioning in God. Because once we understand that, it will be so easy for you to function in the miraculous power of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And I'm going to mention only three things because of time that are important in identifying your assignment and chiseling it, empowering, stirring it to fulfill everything that God has called you to be and do. Number one, every man who should be successful in both finding and functioning in the assignment of God upon their lives must have a legitimate alignment. Or if you're writing, legitimate alignments. All of us are as functional as we are aligned. We live in a dispensation of men who have been raised under false orientations or deceptive alignments. That when you question the heart of the man and ask him, "Why are you serving the Lord?" you'll be amazed at the foundation from which they were placed into the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very possible for a man to apply himself to things of the Spirit because he's stirred by the carnal deceptions, which are bred either from comparisons. I want to be like Apostle so-and-so, Prophet so-and-so, Teacher so-and-so. He sees a man coming from America, spent 25 years there or 15 years there serving the Lord. He has an expensive cologne and Louis Vuitton shoe, and he has a very long suit, and then he looks at him and, because of just simple admiration, he says, "I also want to serve God." And then he walks to that man, and the man says, And he tells this man, pray for me, I want to be a pastor. Raise your hands. And then he prays over him for that man to be a pastor or an evangelist or a teacher or whatever that person desires. And some of which also is birthed out of competition. I want to be better than this person. Some of it is jealousy. Some of it is jealousy. I read something years ago that blew me, and I know it will shock many of you. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verses 4, read the Amplified Version. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verses 4. If you're there, you say amen. 1, 2, 3, let's go. Then I saw all the what? Painful effort in labor and all skill in work comes from a man's rivalry with his neighbor. He says, this is also vanity, a vain striving after the wind and the feeding of it. He says, he saw a man. Give me the New Living Translation. Probably some of you might struggle with the language. Do you have the New Living Translation with you? Thank you. He says, then I observed that most people are motivated to success because they envy their neighbors. A man can be motivated to go on a prayer mountain because he saw what another man received from a prayer mountain without the instruction of going to the prayer mountain. A man can fast and pray because he saw another brother pray, because he has seen the results of fasting and praying. Not because the heart of God draws him in intimacy, but because he admires the success on another man. And I've seen many people building their ministries around such deceptions. Many young men in our generation are assigned because of those relationships. Because of those kinds of, I'm looking for a simpler word, transactional initiations into the ministry. They simply just admire. They just want to be like. Let me tell you something, and I'll come to that a bit later. The best version is yourself. Yes, tell your neighbor, the best version is yourself. Yes, or else you'll be a cheap copy of a great original. Tell them. Why did Israel ask for a king? They went to the Lord and told him, give us a king also, like the other nations. They have kings that control them, that lead their affairs and order their lives. We want a king also. And God tells them, no, it's not right. But they are trying to align themselves like the fallen realm. I cannot tell you how many young men and how many ministers in the world are applied, are giving of themselves out of sheer lust because of what they see on other individuals. And it's okay if what's breeding on a man's life is exactly connected to what's inside you. That is a right connection. But I have seen alliances that just do not connect. And people are trying to draw from places that God has not originally designed them to draw from. Let me say this also. The miraculous is not only limited to healing the sick and casting out devils. There are miracles of science. There are miracles of technology. There are miracles of media. There are miracles of the arts. There are various kinds of miracles. There are miracles in the construction industry. There are miracles in every aspect of life. Not everybody is one file or one dimension, or that is going to only do one kind of definition of the miraculous. What brings us to Wolfpack is to find ourselves. I'll come to that a bit later. It's one of the points I'm going to emphasize. So that when you go back, you become the best you. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Find your tribe. Tell your neighbor, find your tribe. That's what we call legitimate alignments. Find your tribe. Connect to people that speak a deeper language. Something that you feel calling you, not out of lust, but out of purpose and mandate. The weight of that conviction is heavier than just I wish to be. One time a young man walked to me and said, I want 7 times your anointing. He put up his hands. I told him, brother, you'll die. If I die, I die. I told him, no. If you die, God will hold me accountable. Why? Because I need to tell him a quarter of my story to understand what it means to carry what I carry. And I'm sure he might not even be able to carry one level, one dose. But he's asking for 7. He doesn't understand that there is a responsibility to that kind of demand. Why? He's borrowing Elisha's words. Is he serving? No. He thinks that by wishful thinking, he can invite these things. Come on, shake somebody and tell them, don't scare me. Hallelujah. Number 2, understand the wisdom of divine commission. Again, I say this, that on top of illegitimate alignments, I see and I've found people who don't understand how men are supposed to be commissioned. And for most of the part, some are commissioned of men and not of God. And you know why? Because grafting is quicker than planting. It's easier than planting. This pastor was growing the ministry, and then somebody enters the church, and they had the person pray, and they looked, there was a gap in the church, and said, "Ha, I need a lead intercessor. Because of the way you pray, I want to commission you as the lead intercessor in this church." And the Bible says, and all these must be proved. The proof here is not how much the man shouts. Hallelujah. The proof is to study whether this man has actually gone through the process of consecration that qualifies or authenticates him to sit in the office that you require him or her to sit. Remember, the Bible says in Romans 11, verses 17, some are branches from Abraham's tree, some of the Jews have been broken off, and you Gentiles were branches of a wild olive, you were grafted in. He's giving us an issue here, that when we Gentiles came into the faith, we were grafted in, and grafting has its place. It touches the election. It has its place in the redemption narrative. It has its place in the inheritance authentications. But has no place in the doctrine of commissioning. We don't just graft you in because you can sing. We were looking for a tenor and you entered the church. Voila, enter. I don't put a man on my altar because he's gifted. They know I reward faithfulness above gifting. I would rather transact or work with a man who is planted first. I'd rather see this plant grow up from seed and bear branches and carry fruit and say, this is worthy to be appointed. That is the proving of ministers. I know men who just appoint anybody. And by the way, God has not called us to ordain men. Wolfbeck. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee to be a prophet unto nations. The work of the church is to commission the ordained. The extension of graces when we commission is not the justification of the thought that we are the ones ordaining. Because the graces on our lives extend on other men, it does not mean that we have ordained those men. Because with or without them, God could ordain them. He found a man in a burning bush, alone, looking after animals, and put an anointing on him. Now you tell Moses that because so-and-so did not lay hands on you, therefore you're not qualified to lead the children of Israel. Come on. Are you following what I'm saying? When we come to the doctrine of commission, grafting does not apply. We need to raise people through the process to help them understand that it's important to look after sheep first before God entrusts you with human beings. But our generation wants to become manager before it can understand the wisdom of clerkship. He wants to go to a mountain for 4 months and come back and become an apostle. I was on a mountain for 4 months and the Lord appeared to me and I became an apostle. Study every man that has been mightily used by God. It's more than just that encounter on the mountain. There's a system, there's a process, there's a pruning, there's a breaking, there's a bending, there's a killing, there's a testing, there's a trial. Somebody shout hallelujah. Psalms 92 verses 13 says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat. The word fat there is anointed. They shall be anointed and flourishing. That's why you see certain men who preserve graces into old age. Somebody says, you know, as you age, people live. Reinhard Bonk, he was so old, but when he said, I'm doing a crusade, because he came out of a process. He came out of a what? Yes, not an overnight wonder. Hallelujah, somebody. Do you know that you could sit in a church and almost 80 or 70% of the people in the church do not know their assignment? 80% of the people in church almost do not know their assignment. They leave the rest of the responsibilities to some who, like I said, are not even assigned right, but they are doing something out of zeal. Or some who are truly assigned. Once we increase that, that's the secret of church growth. Look at the early church. The Bible is very clear. As each one was reaching another, they're just simply sharing their experiences, where they have been with God. You simply just sharing that. Imagine you have 100 members, just 100 members, and you're able to make 70 of them discipled material, and they all find their assignment. And you assigned each of those 70 to go out and bring 10 people in 12 months. What would be the size of your church after 12 months? Answer me. 70 times what? 10. What? There'll be how? How many? 700. Now imagine out of that 700, you raise 500 more. Raise them enough to find an assignment and a purpose. And out of that, introduce the wisdom and burden of the great mystery. And send those 500 out. How many will they bring in the next year? 1,000. And out of that 1,000 plus, they found a certain number there, right? Let's just say you get to a point where you get 1,000 men and just give them everything that they need and send them out to bring 10 men, members. How many members would that be on a Sunday? Very possible. Very possible. In fact, in our primary years, the first thing I did 48 classes. 48 classes just to help men find assignments, mandates, understand, calibrate them, disciple them. That was the first core group. There were about 2,500. Those men have done remarkable things in Uganda. Some of them are members of parliament. Some of them are CEOs of businesses. But when we say we are going out, they go out as assigned men. They're not doing the ministry a favor. If you don't pay me, I don't play the piano. We don't have those people in our church. Those are not assigned people. Because sons look for inheritance, not pay. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the world of the miraculous. One time, when in Mukono preaching, one of a place called Mukono, and I had to drive back to Kampala for another overnight. And these guys went out as I was teaching a small group of young people then. They went out and were teaching about healing. My God. They just felt like they were starred. They went to hospital and they started asking, who is about to die? There was a young lady called Jennifer. She had heart disease, and then she had, I think, cancer. And then she had two other diseases. One, I think, was HIV. And they told the doctor, we want to take this one as specimen to prove that God heals. They are men, women and women of mission. These people have never changed. They are the same, even up to today. They are married, they have children, but they are as crazy as they have been 10 years ago. The doctor said, anyway, she's about to die. Can we hire an ambulance? They put her in an ambulance. Woo, put her at the church. So I come in 4 a.m. for the next service. Lo and behold, I find this woman on the ground. I looked at their faith. I didn't even waste time. I told Jennifer, stand up, you're healed. You are waiting for nothing. Jennifer ran. She didn't heal. She just didn't heal. She ran. The heart healed immediately. HIV left the body. Cancer left the body. Up till now, she's alive and well. Somebody shout amen! Amen! But if you meet every one of those people and ask them, what is your assignment on earth? They know it. They know it. And when they come in the presence of God, they're like children. They can do anything. Because they are assigned. They understand their mandate. Each one of them. There is one who told me, for me, I know Manasha. I'm in helps ministry. I don't even admire to stand on that altar. I don't want to be in the choir. That's my responsibility. They don't look for lights. They don't look for cameras. They don't ask for promotion. That's where they want to be. And they do it so well. And after doing that, they sit in their Mercedes and drive back home. Because they are not poor. Gone are those days when somebody is an usher because they are a survivor in church. Somebody shout fire! Fire! But it's important to plant people. To go through the circumcision of the heart. Wait for your time when it comes to ministry. Romans 12 verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. There is a process to take you there. And it's not enough that because you've done a miracle, therefore you're commissioned to ministry. You know, we have people, they just heal two blind eyes and deaf ears, and they say, poo, poo, miracle wonders ministry. The Lord has called me. I'm rebelling against my spiritual father. This guy doesn't hear God. Proverbs 15 speaks of a word spoken in due season. There is a time where the revelations of your spirit reconcile with your season. That whatever you speak is spoken from a place of authority. Heaven affirms and vindicates every word that comes out of your spirit. Because you have waited on the Lord. Thirdly, find yourself. That's what I wanted to emphasize. Find yourself. And some of you, I think, I thought I'm supposed to look. We have people who are more, who only understand this in the sense of being disconnected from God. They think that I'm trying to lay optics on their fallen nature. That's not what I'm talking about. When you become born again, you are one with Christ. The Bible says actually in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But when you know that you are in Christ, the next phase of conversation is, who are you in Christ? That's what I mean by finding yourself. So I could actually say, find yourself in God. This is why. Number one, it defines your vantage points of sight. Your vision will never be truly and fully calibrated as it ought until you find yourself in God. Because there, God reveals himself to us differently. To Moses, he was in a burning bush. But when he gets to Elijah, he's not in the fire. Are you following? When he gets to Elijah, he's not in the what? He's not in the fire. Now, if you're glued to the singular dimension of wherever I see fire, God is going to appear, then you're going to miss God. But if you find yourself and understand the unique print that you carry, separate your voice from the echoes or noises and understand that this is who I am before God. When I stand before God, I have a print, a unique print with him. Revelations 2:17. He says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to him that overcometh, I will give unto him to eat of the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving that person that receiveth it. God wants to be so particular that he can get in a meeting and make a statement that will catch your attention to tell you that you are seated among millions of people. But I'm talking to you specifically. No man can get that degree of hearing or that dimension of seeing in the spirit when they have not found themselves. You learn not to compete with anybody. Two, why? Because you understand the character of your unction. It's only by finding yourself that you will truly define the character of your unction. Years ago, in a dream of the night, I got a vision. And I'm in a very old, dilapidated building. And Jesus, the Lord, comes in that building and meets me at the door and bypasses me and goes and speaks to two apostles who I remember very well of old. They were in conversation, hugged one, shook the hand of another, and after a very long conversation, they finished talking and Jesus comes through, still smiles at me and walks away. And I was saddened that Jesus could not shake my hand. He could not talk to me. He couldn't hug me. There was nothing he could do. I said, God, why have you ignored me? And then he disappears from afar up to the end of that wall. And I could not see him no more. And I hear a voice tell me, turn. When I turned in this building, my eyes were invited to a corner of the building. And I saw a window, a small window. But that window had the foundation of gold. The building was still old and dilapidated, but it had the foundation of gold and it had stones, every beautiful kind of stone. And a light shines through that window and hit me so hard, and I come out of the vision. 7 months I was praying, God, what is the meaning of this thing? I'm in my father's living room walking, and one evangelist is on television. He says, there's somebody watching me right now. You have been asking God about windows. You saw a window in your vision. You've been asking God about windows. I said, Makambro de Gazegete. I sat down. And then he explains what the windows were. It was at that particular point that the voice was very clear. This is what I have been telling you. That for many people, I affirm my presence according to the distinction I have put on them as individuals. And for you, I will always confirm my anointing on your life by the spirit of revelation. Whenever you speak to a certain depth or dimension of the spirit, I'll reveal myself. That is why when I'm in meetings, miracles can happen even before I pray. I don't need to construct myself to get a miracle. When I'm teaching, sometimes the power is moving so easily without laying hands on people. The presence is stirred every time I'm preaching Christ. That is my character. I understand my unction. I remember that time as I kept discovering and discovering and discovering these things. I remember the day the Lord told me, from today you shall no longer pray for the sick. You just need to declare. And I remember that moment. From that day on, those of you who have watched my healing meetings, I don't need to pray. I just declare. The lame are walking and they come on. The blind are seeing and they come on. The deaf are hearing and they come on. That doesn't make me necessarily special or better than the person watching me. I only found myself. Hallelujah, somebody. For Solomon, it was wisdom. For Moses, it was leadership. For Bezalel, he was a cunning artificer. For Esther, it was the courage of the spirit. For Joseph, it was the interpretation of dreams. For Daniel, it was the prophetic eye. For Paul, it was writing. He was not a good speaker. 2 Corinthians 10:10 says, for his letters, say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. That is why what we have now to give reference to are his letters. God would not let a recording, an audio recording of Paul. He would struggle to preach in Wolfbeck. Or at least would have to read his letters. But that doesn't mean that because the man cannot speak, therefore God has not given him a message. Am I communicating to somebody? It does not mean that because a man cannot sing, God has not given him a psalm. Am I communicating to somebody? He's Lord unto all and he's rich unto all. I think one of the great experiences that happened to me was finding myself. There are people in this room. You have never found yourself. You have never found yourself. Or you're even afraid to look into who you are. Who you really are. When I went on that search to say, God, what have you called me to be? God started to bring people around that were seeing things even I could not see. And I said, you're going to go here, you're going to do this, and I'll be thinking, wrong prophecy. But I don't cancel because it sounds so good. Hallelujah, child of God. But as I kept to draw in, I started to realize, no, God was opening the eyes of these people to see. When you deliberately start stirring or yielding actually to the Spirit of God to help you find you, it's amazing the clues that it starts to place around you. That a man can say something so simple, and to everybody it's generically common, but to you it invites and awakens some of the deepest conviction of your spirit, because you feel he's speaking the language you understand. He's calling out something older than your, even the language you speak. There was a reason why when Mary met Elizabeth, something kicked in that stomach. Somebody's receiving something this very second. This very second, I sense the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I feel another person as well. There's a few people. I see about five or six of you. There's something defining you this evening. I feel the power of God define you this evening. God is giving you a vision bigger than you. The mantle that God is revealing to your eyes right now is heavier than you. Lord, where are your prophets? Where are the apostolic graces of this dispensation? I call you out in the name of Jesus. There's somebody, your eyes are opening right now. You see yourself before a sea. It's a crusade ground. And you're saying, is it me, Lord? No, I'm not talking to the person who has gotten it because I've said it. I'm talking to the person who saw it and I said it. Somebody speaking other tongues. I feel I can't continue. There's a pastor here who has not yet found themselves. This conference is going to define things you never even thought were in you. Somebody speak in other tongues. I still have a few minutes, but I don't feel like I can preach. I still have time, but I don't feel I can preach. Just open your mouth. Let's bust out. Let's bask in what God wants to do. It's more important what the Holy Spirit wants to do. It's more important. Come on, open your mouth. Open your mouth. Lord, bring to the revelation of what you have ordained your servant. Come on, let's pray. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. You will not run until you find yourself. You will not run until you connect to a legitimate alignment. You will not run until you understand the wisdom behind divine commission. In fact, this evening I hear God commissioning people. altar has enough anointing to commission people. The words that have been spoken in this conference are sufficient to commission a man. Come on, let's pray. I still have some minutes. Let's use them to intercede. Karanda zobrade. Ebro goziga landa katabro regazare goziga brade gatalapa. Somebody's receiving the miraculous faculty as a gift. You're going to start healing the sick without struggle. Come on, receive it.
We are standing on holy ground.
I want to lay hands on a few people.
And I know
that there
are
angels all around. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Let us praise Jesus now.
Receive the anointing.
We are standing in His presence on holy ground.
Thank you, Lord. Receive the anointing. Come on, pray.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around.
Here, you came with a heart disease. You're on my left. And you've been struggling even to lie down on your bed. And God is healing you now. Now. If you came with a swelling, any swelling, whether it's in your armpit or your breast or your body or your back, it's disappearing right now in the name of Jesus. Right now. Right now. In fact, I see the anointing that makes swellings disappear. It's flowing. It's flowing. It's flowing. Check yourself. Either you're in the overflow or you're in this room and you came with a swelling and it's gone. Check yourself. Put up your hand. I want to see you. I feel like a swelling has just disappeared. A swelling has just disappeared. A growth has just disappeared. Either it's in your neck or your armpit or it's disappeared right now. If you came with a fibroid, it's gone right now. Check yourself. If you came with a fibroid, a swelling in your stomach, it's disappeared now, 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 this very second. If you came with a swelling and it has disappeared, I want you to show me your hand. Come, come. It's gone? If you came with a swelling and it has disappeared, come. Come, come quickly, run. Even if you're in the overflow, come. Come. Came with a swelling, come run here. I feel swellings are disappearing this very second. Armpits, stomach, it's just disappearing. You're going to feel it and it's not there anymore. Come, come, come here, 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 come here. Somebody was deaf in one ear. It's opening now. Now run here. Run here. Somebody, your ear has not been hearing for a long time. It's opening right now. Just check your ear. Where is that person? Either they are in the overflow or they are here in this room. But there is somebody, you're going to check your ear and it's open. I have only 10 minutes. Somebody, your ears just opened. Where is that person? There's an ear that is opening right now as I'm speaking. You could not hear in one ear. Something happened to your ear. Where is that person? Where is that person? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can we hear just a few testimonies? Just a few. Just a few. I have 8 minutes. I need to use them wisely. Just be informing us. Tell us. You tell him, he tells me. Yes. No, no. Don't let her not use. I have a lot, little time. You tell, they tell him, he tells me. No, you don't go until your testimony is done. Yes.
Swelling on her tummy is gone.
Yeah?
Swelling on her tummy is gone. Swelling on her tummy.
It was in or on? Huh?
In.
How long has it been?
Quite a while now.
Speak louder.
Quite a while. Quite a while.
How many years?
3 years.
3 years. What happened? Speak loud.
I can't feel it right now.
It's gone. Somebody clap for Jesus. Anybody else? I want to hear that one. Quickly, I have 5 minutes.
I have five.
Can you bring them in the light? Because they are so in the dark. Bring them in the light. One at a go, quickly. Yes, yes. I want to hear that. Yes. There. Yeah. Can you tell us?
Yeah. I have fibroids for like 5 years, left and right.
What happened today?
They're gone.
They're gone. Give me your hand. May God use you. May God use you to heal the sick. In Jesus' name. Ashes. Quickly. Yes. Fibroids, Give her a mic, yeah? It's gone. Praise the Lord. Oh my God. Did somebody's ear open? Huh?
Swelling gone.
Swelling.
My spine. I did the MRI and the result came out. I've been having pains along my lumbar.
And there was a swelling?
Yes.
And it has gone?
Yes. But now, even there is a cough, but now it's stretched. It's gone.
Praise God. Quickly, we have 5 minutes. Yes.
I had a swelling on my back. It came back, was very painful. Now I can't feel the pain.
How big was the swelling?
It was, I could feel it from inside. Now I touch it, I can't feel the pain anymore.
Hallelujah.
Fiber is healed.
Praise God, hallelujah. Somebody clap for Jesus. Give her a mic, give her a mic. Somebody clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah.
I used to feel some swelling in my armpit and all of this.
For how long?
Just from time to time, and I've been thinking, but it's no longer there.
It's gone in Jesus' name. I have a few more minutes, yes? A lamp, where was it? In your left breast, right breast?
Right.
Hallelujah. That's what God does. That's what God does. Yes? Huh?
Yes. Lord, I don't know how long, but it has been since last year, and it has been disturbing me one way or the other, but bringing water and stuff, but I thank God that it's gone. Victory of God.
Glory to God. Let me see the minutes I have. Yes.
Fibroid healed.
Clap for Jesus. I told you the anointing that heals swellings is here. Hallelujah. Does somebody have somebody with cancer at home? Let's just send a prayer right now. Let's speak that name and say, cancer, leave. Leave. Yes. Yes. Speak. Huh?
He came here, he was swollen 3 months. Swollen for 3 months. And his leg is totally healed.
It has gone back?
Yeah.
Boss, give me the mic. It has gone back. It has gone back.
Yes.
It came swollen.
It has gone back to normal size.
Somebody celebrate Jesus. Oh, tell your neighbor you're about to see God like you've never before. Now imagine what is happening in your marriage. Imagine what is happening in your family. Imagine what is happening in your business. Imagine what is happening in your career. Imagine what is happening in your ministry.
Heaven came down.
Hallelujah. One more person.
This lady has had fibroids for 2 years. They're totally gone.
Hallelujah.
For 2 years.
Give her the mic. I want to hear.
It's gone. It's gone. It's gone.
Hallelujah. I'm sorry I won't finish the testimonies because of time. Come on, let's give the Lord a man clap of praise.